Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody had a blessed Memorial Day and a safe Memorial Day yesterday. I hope you guys enjoyed the show as well. It was definitely a good rerun. That's why we wanted to run it for you guys yesterday. So other than that, yeah, a lot of stuff going on today. Weather's good here in Florida, and we have Dad back in the state of Florida live with us, so he's got a great connection. How are you doing today, Dad?
I want to go back to North Georgia. It's like 98 degrees here. I felt like I walked out into a sauna with gnats. It was this is ridiculous. These chemtrail guys have got this thing kind of totally screwed up, dude. I mean, what a mess.
Yeah, I mean, once you get used to it, I mean, I usually keep 1 to 2 shirts in my truck. That way I can change between going to places. That way one shirt's soaking wet, so I just switch to the next shirt wherever I'm going. So, I mean, as long as you figure out how to work with Florida and you don't mind sweating profusely all day and most of the night, I mean, it's not too bad. You get used to the 95% humidity at 100 degrees after a while, I guess.
Well, the problem is I had my air on my office turned to 88. And so what happened is, you know, it's on automatic. It automatically comes on 2 hours before the show every day. But I put it on hold at 88 degrees, and I forgot I put it on hold because I was gone for almost a month. So I walked in here today, and it's like 88 degrees in my office. So now I'm sweating profusely doing this show.
Well, I'll make sure I bring you a shirt when I come back over to the house after work.
I'll need one. All right. Interesting story. I want to start with a story if it's okay. German kindergartens to name parents who refuse to vaccine, who refuse vaccine advice. In other words, they're training the little children in Germany to narc their parents out because Europe is experiencing a spike in disease thanks to a drop in immunization numbers. This is from Reuters. This is total Rothschild propaganda. So let me read it to you. Germany will pass a law next week obliging kindergartens to inform the authorities if parents fail to provide evidence that they have received advice from their doctor on vaccinating their children. Excuse me. The parents refusing the advice risk fines up to $2,800 under the law coming to force June the 1st. Vaccination rules are being tightened across Europe where there are a decline in immunization that's caused a spike in diseases such as measles, chicken pox, and mumps. Nobody can be indifferent to the fact that people are still dying of measles. I think, what, 2 people died last year or whatever? I mean, I'm being facetious, probably more than that, but it's totally tiny. Italy made vaccination compulsory this month after health officials warned that a fall off of vaccination rates had triggered a measles epidemic with more than 2,000 cases this year. A lack of public trust in vaccines has become an important health topic globally. Experts say negative attitudes may be due to fears of oversuspected side effects and hesitancy among doctors. In 10 European countries, cases of measles, which can cause blindness, there we go. I've never heard of anybody being blind from measles.
No.
Has doubled in the number of the first 2 months of 2017. This is the Reuters. This is the Reuters lies. This is leading to greater activism on parents and public health officials. Last week, a German court ruled that a father could insist that his child be vaccinated over the objections of his child's mother because it was in the child's interest. Now, the reason I read this piece of garbage to you guys, which is what this is all Reuters, Rothschild, AP Wire news trash, okay, is this. Not one part of this article did they mention the 3 million diseased immigrants that just came in from Africa and the Middle East into Germany, causing a massive rise in these different types of diseases. Not one time. Not one time did they talk about how the migrants are defecating in the streets in Germany, defecating in the streets in Italy, and defecating and sleeping in the streets in France. Nobody's talking about that. The reason they've had a rise of these diseases that have been eradicated pretty much without vaccinations is because of cleanliness standards in Europe. And now they've got all these people who don't know how to flush a toilet coming into their countries with absolutely no end in sight, including with our country right now. I'll talk about that story in a few minutes. We got wide open immigration again now in our country. And so we have all of these diseases coming up. A couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now, I did a show with some nutbag liberal. I didn't even want to do it. My publicist asked me to do it. And he got into a big argument with me, basically because I said that the people coming in from South America and Central America needed to be screened for diseases before they were allowed into the United States to make sure they weren't carrying hepatitis or carrying AIDS or carrying Ebola or whatever. And he got into a big argument with me saying basically that I was racist because I wanted people screened. And I said, dude, what are you talking about? Are you like smoking crack? I said, nobody's racist here. I said, everybody's have a health checkup before they're allowed into the general population. And this is what's happening in Europe, Austin. But they're not mentioning one thing about immigration in here. They're not talking about all of these people coming in from these African countries that have never, ever eradicated measles or chicken pox or mumps or anything. That mean, all these people down there have all these diseases all the time. And so they're now saying, oh my gosh, we've had a drop in immunization numbers. Well, yes, because you've got all these people that have never been immunized coming in, which is going to skew your numbers down. And so this is another Reuters propaganda piece, and I wanted everybody to be aware of it before they heard it on another channel, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what's going on. There's no way that you can allow that many people to come into a country that fast and successfully medical screen all of them. It's not physically possible, not without having literally lines of tens of thousands of people out the door and hundreds of thousands of medical staff working around the clock. That's what you have to actually get them in some type of timely fashion. They let a lot of these individuals in completely unchecked. You guys remember seeing some of the videos before they got any of the borders secure in any of the countries, these guys were literally funneling in groups of 100,000 at a time, walking in. I mean, rows as far as the eye could see, just crossing country and piling into countries like that. No idea what these people are carrying. No idea what they've been exposed to. No idea what their sanitation habits have been. Nothing whatsoever. But again, that's been the overall goal, to allow these guys to come in. And now what they're doing in Italy is they're using the exact same thing as Dad just said. They're using this now to start forcibly vaccinating people, essentially. Italy is facing unprecedented mandatory vaccine pushes. Now, the people of Italy are currently facing an assault on their health choice and informed consent. If the Muslim invasion wasn't bad enough, in 2015, the government plan in Italy aimed to boost vaccination rates and introduce a series of new vaccines. The national vaccination plan for 2016 to 2018 would instantly make Italy a European front runner and vaccination. The whole thing from the beginning stinks of big pharma. As you can see, as soon as you put the two and two together, GlaxoSmithKline net headlines in 2015 with their announcement that they were going to invest more than 1 billion euros in Italy over the next 4 years. Surprise, surprise. GlaxoSmithKline added again. Now, this year, the Council of Ministers, on the proposal of President Palio Gentiloni, I'm sure I just butchered that, and the Minister of Health, Beatrice Lorenz, approved an emergency decree containing what they deemed urgent measures in disease prevention. According to the decree, vaccinations now may only be omitted or deferred in the event of a significant established health condition in relation to a specific fully documented proof by a general practitioner or pediatrician. The decree has following key measures: that a 500 to 7,500 euro penalty is imposed on those who refuse to follow the decree. The parent or parent guardian of the child who violates the obligation to vaccinate is reported to the local health authority, to the juvenile court, for possible suspension of parental authority. Notice how they say in here, parental authority. Basically, they're giving you the authority to be parents. They're allowing you to raise your kids. The next one here says, children who do not have all mandatory vaccinations will not be allowed to be enrolled in public or private schools, including any type of child care. The decree measures come into force at the beginning of next school year, 2018. Now, back to GlaxoSmithKline, shortly before they announced their 1 billion euro investment in Italy, Just by coincidence, the Italian Medicine Agency suddenly and without warning stopped publicly publishing its vaccine surveillance data, which tracks adverse vaccine reactions. I mean, guys, you can't even make this stuff up. And also, well, in the 2016 bill, as far as for testing medical vaccinations on the public, the 2016 bill was approved by the Italian Senate of the Republic. The initiative relaxes the standards and research protections regarding clinical trials, including vaccinations and sets into motion the reorganization of the Italian healthcare system. Despite facing what appears to be institutional and regulatory corruption, the Italian people are rapidly activating in defense of their medical rights. Many have been vocal in public and online points. A national public demonstration and protest is planned for June 11th in Rome. Guys, this whole thing, people say, oh, it's conspiracy or this or that. It's not even a conspiracy anymore, guys. You can't even list it as that. This is just factual stuff. GlaxoSmithKline says that they're going to invest 1 billion euros in Italy in 2015, and then all of a sudden the Health Defense Department says, we're going to relax all standards on which these can be tested, and we're no longer going to publish adverse effects, and we're going to start forcibly vaccinating you in 2018, or we're going to fine you, take away your kids, and not allow them to go to school. You can't make this stuff up, Dad, and can't make it up at all. And it goes to what you just talked about now with the massive influx of what they're seeing in Europe, and now they're using this as the preemptive excuse to start vaccinating everybody with a mandatory decree. I hate that word decree, by the way.
You know, it's interesting. I had a friend of mine who's a national TV talk show Christian host, and I sent him some information on this the other day. And he goes, none of that's true. None of it's true. It's all conspiracy theory, and it's all false news. And I said to him, I said, but we're talking about Gottlieb being part of the J. GlaxoSmithKline development team. None of it's true. And I said, it's on his resume. None of it's true. And I'm like, how can it not be true? Gottlieb says it's true. None of it's true. See, this is the mindset that a lot of people get into when it comes to this weird stuff like this. None of it's true. And the reason for that is called normalcy bias. It's a lot easier to believe that people really just don't suck like this. This is awful, but that's how they do. They suck. I mean, these guys who are doing this with, excuse my language, the guys that are doing this as far as the, you know, forcing these people in Italy to take immunizations, now they know exactly what they're doing. It's all about population control. That's what this is all about. All of this is. I mean, they're going to be on, they're going to, soon they'll be getting Gardasil shots to all the girls to sterilize them. The whole thing is this. I mean, it's all part of the Jason Committee from the 50s. We've talked about it in depth on this show before, and how one of the key things they said we have to do is reduce the population of the planet. Bill Gates said they're going to use vaccines to do a big elimination. I personally believe they're going to use vaccines and some biological release to kill a bunch of people, which they've already done with, you know, with Ebola in Africa and with AIDS in Africa and all the stuff they've done over there. They're doing everything they can to massively curtail the population growth in Africa, and they haven't been very effective at doing that at all. But now they've infected a boatload of people with AIDS. You know, the sad part about all of this stuff is, guys, is that this isn't conspiracy theory. Austin's exactly right. This is just the facts. The difference is, and then my buddy, my TV evangelist says, if it was real, it'd be on Fox News. I said, it is on Fox News. No, it's not. So I sent him the link. Not real. It's a fake posting. And I'm like, gosh, are you kidding me? You know, Fox News reports on it. It's still fake. You know, it's like the thing with Seth Rich. I mean, Hannity reports on Seth Rich. Now he's taking a little leave of absence. I'm sure he's back by now. But the point is this. You know, nobody wants to hear the truth, Austin, because of normalcy bias, because everybody has an established behavioral paradigm in which they believe certain things, and certain things are beyond the scope of their imagination to be reality. They can't believe it. I mean, if you tell people that we're being basically controlled by a group of extraterrestrial fallen angels that have basically overseen world development and world dominion through their bloodlines for thousands of years, they think you need to go to the little funny farm and get put on the little short bus and get put in the little padded room. I mean, this is what the Bible says. No, this is what the Bible says happened. This is what the Bible says is happening, but nobody wants to talk about that. I mean, no, the Bible, that's a conspiracy theory. The Bible doesn't say that. Well, here's the scripture. No, it doesn't. I'm reading you the scripture. No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean that. What does it mean? Well, it means something else. Well, okay, well, can you tell me what else it means? I've gone back into the Greek and into the Hebrew. This is what it says in the Strong's Exhaustive Gordon. I don't believe you. I remember years ago, I did the verse on 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, I believe, and it says, the Spirit clearly, and I'm doing this from memory, guys, so don't fuss at me if I get it wrong. The Spirit clearly says in latter days, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry, and they ordered them to abstain from certain foods that have been created to receive with joy and thanksgiving for those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good if it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, on the outset, when you listen to that verse, unless you go back into the Greek and into the Hebrew, etc., you think, well, that means you just pray over your food and eat it, which is what most Christians do. They just eat whatever they want to eat and they don't care. That's why so many people are dropping dead in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s now who are Christians. They're just getting to heaven a lot quicker because they take this voice, this whole verse out of context. One day I got so frustrated because I kept getting this verse thrown up in my head, my face all the time. This is back in the 80s. This is when I memorized this thing. This is like 30 years ago. I finally started going through every single word in the Greek to figure out what that whole verse meant. And finally I get to a word called meats. They tell people to avoid certain meats which God created to be good and receive with thanksgiving. And so I looked it up. I said, okay, let's look up what meats mean in the Hebrew, in the Greek. And so meats means broma, B-R-O-M-A. Broma means foods that have been sanctified according to Levitical law. You can look it up. That's what it says. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, in the part of those paragraphs there. So what we have to do, you have to insert the meaning of the word into the verse to get the actual meaning. So it says, they forbid people to marry, and they ordered them to abstain from certain foods which are considered ceremonial clean by the word of God. Those are the meats. Now, ceremonial clean, they further define it. And this is because it is what? Sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The word of God, when you look that up and what that means the Torah. The five first books of Levitical law, which is the word of God, which is basically the Pentateuch in the Jewish faith. And what this is it's saying that as long as it's sanctified by the word of God, the Torah, and it's considered sanctified according to Levitical law, don't forbid people not to eat it. That's what the entire verse stands for. That's what it means. The reason for that, there's certain faiths out there which say you can't eat meat during certain times of the year. You can't eat this certain times of the year. And some people say you can't eat meat at all because basically it's basically going back to the Old Testament before we were allowed to eat meat before, you know, the Great Flood. So a lot of people take these scriptures and they twist it out and they don't go into what the word says from a Greek standpoint. This is the problem that you run into with normalcy bias. Their preacher has preached it wrong for years and years and years and years, and so they're not going to change their minds on what they believe. The other day we had a problem. Our church has a satellite church here in Auburndale, where we live, and the main church is like 10 or 15 miles away, and they decided to close the satellite church, though we have hundreds of people in attendance every Sunday, for no reason besides they want to do it, and they decided to do it without asking anybody. And so I talked to one of the leaders, and I said, you know, doesn't it make sense that if we have to have a budget goal met here, then if we're not reaching it, just tell us and give us a chance to keep our church open so we don't have to drive for 30 minutes to church round trip every day or 40 minutes in traffic. And I said, don't we need to just try to have a reality check here until we all need to work together? See, most churches don't do that. Most churches are basically dictatorships from the board or from the pastor. And that's just how it is. And I'm not busting at the churches because they've been given apostolic authority. The problem is that doesn't mean they get everything right all of the time. So a lot of times when your pastor is telling you to go out and eat pork because it's okay, and he says it from the pulpit, or go out and drink diet sodas because they're okay, neither of those things are okay. The Bible says, don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple, that God's spirit lives within you, and if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. That's what the word says. And also it says about pork, it says basically in the book of Isaiah, it compares to eating pork and pig and rats and other abominable things. They shall meet their end together, declareth the Lord. It doesn't please God, like it says in the John, book of John, that we should please God and obey his commandments. It doesn't please God for us to break his commandments. Does that mean that we're going to go to hell if we eat a pork sandwich? No. But what it does mean is that you're not really pleasing God when you do stuff like that. And so we're still under grace, thank God. But the reality is, should we continue to willfully sin after we've received the knowledge of the grace and of the truth? The Bible says in Romans, by no means should we continue to do that. So to people who know the truth who doesn't do it, to them it's sin. So if you know there's certain things that you're eating that are poisoning your body, like GMO foods or glyphosate or Roundup or diet sodas or pork, because the World Health Organization says pork's the number one cause of cancer globally. If you know all of these things are bad for you, but you continue to do it, as a Christian, we're being held accountable for that. You say, well, that doesn't mean we're not going to get to heaven. No, it doesn't mean we're not going to get to heaven, and it's not going to send you to hell, but it will get you to heaven a lot quicker. Now, that's a fact. When you eat all of this junk, you're going to die quick. I just had another friend of mine, Jurgen, he owns the Yalaha's Bakery over here close to Yalaha, Florida, which is like an hour drive from here. And a good friend of his son, Austin, went to sleep two nights ago, 38 years old, died in his sleep, heart attack. 38 years old. 38 years old gone. You know, and the guy was in relatively good shape. Guys, nobody's promised tomorrow. That's the whole thing. You gotta live like this is, if you had a week to be alive and you knew that your checkout date was 7 days from now, you need to be doing everything for this next week with energy and with vitality and with gusto and with belief and everything else that you know to do, because you know the end is near. See, that's how we need to live every day of our life. We need to realize that none of us are promised tomorrow. that, you know, bad things happen to good people, just what happens in this world. A lot of that's because of their prayer life. A lot of that's because of their confessions. A lot of that's because they make really poor choices sometimes. If you step in front of a semi-truck, you're going to have a really negative experience. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it wasn't God's will for that to happen. It's just you made a really bad choice. See, that's what we've got to realize, is that when we learn things, like off of this show or off the Hagmans or Hodges or Sheila's show, and we understand that there are certain things that we were taught that aren't right anymore, we really need to change the attitude of what we have. I mean, people are always saying to me, well, this and that and this and that. And I said, no. Let's see what happens from a, I don't want to be trendy. You know, you got these pastors now on the platform. They wear these skinny jeans. You know, guys in skinny jeans to me look, well, they look gay, to be honest with you. They just look gay. So you got these guys running around in skinny jeans, little tight, little like they're wearing leotards on the platform. It's trendy. They got their sleeves pushed up and they got their shirts pulled out and they're, or, you know, they're just kind of just chilling out with their little skinny jeans on. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to wear skinny jeans. I said, I'm not going to be trendy. Let's stick with what the Word of God says. Let's stick with what good solid science says. Let's make sure that we understand what we believe is based in fact. And guys, you got to say something here. Again, and Austin's right. Just because we don't believe it's true doesn't mean it's not true. Like my buddy who's that TV evangelist. I mean, he's got his head stuck so far in the dirt, he has no idea what reality is anymore. I mean, he doesn't even want to believe anything about anyone. He fussed at me the other day because I said something about Jared Kushner and Soros. And he started talking about, when you have a son-in-law, you can't criticize your son-in-law. And I'm like, dude, I don't have a son-in-law. He's not my son-in-law, Kushner's not, and he's not your son-in-law either. I said, why are you defending somebody who's obviously involved with the mafia in the building industry up in New Jersey and New York? I mean, organized crime is involved like crazy in those areas as far as building permits, etc. We all know that. We're not trying to make anything up. And Kushner's dad already went to jail for this crazy stuff. I mean, so we need to understand it's all true. None of it's true. None of it's true. And Kushner's dad never went to jail. And I said, he's even me. Ah. But see, this is what you run into when you cast your pearls. So guys, don't do that. If you got a person who's kicking against you as far as vaccines, send them the video of Vax. Ask them, will you watch a video if I send it to you, a DVD? I mean, it's $10. Or pay for them to watch it on Netflix or whatever for $1.99 or whatever they charge now. And just let them watch it and see what they think after they watch the movie. If they watch that movie and you haven't gotten through to them, you're not going to get through to them. Just let them go. Oh, by the way, the U.S. State Department quietly opens the floodgates for incoming refugees. President Trump issued an executive order reducing the number of refugees entering the U.S., but that has been stalled in the courts. Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department, acting entirely on its own, quietly lifted restrictions on the number of refugees allowed into the U.S. immigration. Advocates are pushing hard for a rollback of Trump's budget cuts for refugee processing. Congress and the State Department are accomplishing that. It makes no difference what the voters want or don't want. Despite repeated efforts by President Trump to curtail refugee settlements, the State Department this week quietly lifted this whole stuff. The result could be a near doubling of refugees entering the country from 830 a week to over 1,500 per week by next month. And by the way, these numbers are extremely low. I think it's more like a day. They're bringing these guys in C-130 transport planes from other countries in the middle of the night. That's how this is working. They're basically doing everything they can to dilute what's going on in the United States as far as our population, to bring a Muslim group in here that's going to start breeding like crazy, having their 10 or 15 wives or 20 or 30 children, to skew the population demographics within the next 20 to 30 years. That's the goal here. They want to get rid of the white people and the Christians. That's the goal, because the Christians are going to kick too hard against the goad. Remember, the goad was the spikes in a wagon. Jesus said, don't kick against the goad. The goads were the spikes at the back, at the front of the wagon. If the oxen didn't pull equally, they would kick against the goad. They were like something that would stick them in the back of the ankles, so they would pull evenly. Christians are going to kick too much against the goad for a new world order and a one world government under Lucifer. They don't want that. There's too many Christians out there that are armed and ready to fight for what they believe in. They've got to dilute the population of our country and make it more readily, how should I say this, willing to accept the mark of the beast and Lucifer. So it's going to be interesting, guys. Austin, what do you think?
You're absolutely right. I did a little bit more research on this exact issue because I've been reading about it today because it really irritated me. Because they've already saying now that the refugee groups are predicting that entries in the United States could increase so rapidly. The total number of refugees admitted just by September could exceed over 80,000 individuals. Now, and his dad said, I think that's a very, very low number in my estimate. I think it's going to be much higher. But get this. This is where the whole thing comes in, how they pulled this off, guys. You want to talk about everything I told you. There's so many different things that happen with this budget raise, this ceiling raise that they did last month. It's out of control. There's so many things we keep pulling out of it. The department's quota on refugee resettlement were largely the result of budget constraints imposed by Congress and the spending measure passed last fall. So the reason why they are restricted so much on it was because of the actual spending constraints that were passed last fall. When Congress passed the spending bill this month that funded the government for the rest of the fiscal year, the law intentionally did not include any restrictions on refugee admissions whatsoever, Dad.
That's right.
Whatsoever.
No.
Which means there is no cap. 1500 a month, 1500 a week, 1500 a day. Those are all bogus, made-up, fairy-tale pixie dust numbers. It doesn't matter. There is no limit now after they did the spending bill that much. That means they could literally fly in 20,000 to 30,000 people a month, which would be very easy to do. It's only 1,000 people a day. That's a joke to be able to fly in. 20 to 30,000 a month, and we could easily have 2 to 3 to 400,000 refugees coming into the country all year long with zero restrictions on it. And again, this, in my opinion, is going to be the same way they start to push the mandatory vaccines further and further and further on the United States population, because you've seen they've tried to do this. California, couple other states, they get a ton of pushback. A lot of people still aren't complying. A lot of people are fighting it. A lot of people are still getting doctors' excuses. People are waking up to realize what's going on with vaccines. But what they do is now, if they can have a controlled epidemic, if they can bring in a population that they know is infected with a lot of these third world diseases and literally explode them on the United States like a grenade and let it feather out into the population. They say, we don't know why measles is up. We don't know why diphtheria is up. We don't know why all these things are going through the roof. It's, you know why? It's the non-vaccinators. It's because they're not getting vaccinated. That's who it is. That's it right there, guys. We figured it out. Okay, we got the solution now. Everybody needs to get vaccinated. It'll totally fix the problem. Everybody's vaccinated. It's mandatory. We're decreeing if you don't get vaccinated, it's $7,500 fine. We're also going to take your children away if you don't do it, and they're never going to be able to go to school. So, yeah, that's what we have to do, because it's for the good of the country. It's for the good of the population that everybody's vaccinated. That's how they start doing this. But remember, guys, it's still, at the end of the day, is going to have to be voluntary. They are not going to strap you down in a gurney and start vaccinating every single individual one by one. They can't physically do it with the population, nor can they do it from a satanic background standpoint, in my opinion. That has to be submissive. You have to go in and submit yourself to the globalist and say, I'm here, I'm willing, vaccinate me. If they fine you in the submission, if they restrict you in the submission, if they take your free education from your children away in the submission, that's all fine with them. But regardless, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, you are the one that complied, and that is the biggest reason why everybody has to stand fast, stand strong, and keep your immune system up, guys. Don't allow yourself to fall into this bad dietary habit, no sleep, too much sugar, too much caffeine, and compromise your immune system, because right now, more than ever, we all need to be as strong and as healthy as physically possible to be able to handle what's going to happen in the next couple months to the next couple years, Dad.
I have a friend of mine the other day, his daughter got a little cut on her. She had to basically go to the walk-in clinic and get some stitches. I mean, it was about 6 stitches. It was on her pinky finger, and it was not that big of a deal. It wasn't that deep, but it was something that needed to be stitched. And I remember the story goes like this, and they were telling it to me in micro detail. They walk into the clinic, and they don't believe in vaccinations. They listen to the show. And they basically walk in, and the first thing they ask is their current tetanus shot, and of course there was. And then they said, well, how about her other vaccines? Are they all up to date? And of course, the parents now at this point didn't know what to say because they didn't want the child taken away with custody, you know, with it basically in a different state. And so, they basically told a white lie. If you want to call it a white lie, well, I wouldn't call it a white lie. I'd just call it a lie. I'd call it a self-preservation lie. You know, if somebody wants to cut your head off, you kind of just try not to get your head cut off. And then they ask her, well, how about the flu shot? Do they have the flu shot? You know, on and on and on. And so these questions went through about 3 to 4 times on each of these vaccines, pushing vaccines in this walk-in clinic. Now guys, what the heck? Really? This wasn't the pediatrician of this kid. I mean, really? So it's one of those things. I mean, so you have to ask yourself a question. I mean, is it really okay that these guys are doing this and trying to force this type of compliance on children and on their parents? I mean, this is some weird stuff. So you got to be ready to realize that, you know, you got to be willing to take a stand against this stuff. And sometimes it's not going to be a pleasant stand. Sometimes they're going to be really fussy about stuff because you're going to be telling them no, 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 no. So that's the whole thing you've got to realize, guys, is this. Making decisions about these vaccines and making decisions about GMO foods and making decisions about what you're going to eat, making decisions about what you're going to believe, you got to do all that stuff before the rubber meets the road. In other words, you got to have that decision made before the baby gets born. You got to have the baby. You really need to have that made before the baby gets conceived for the husband and wife to be in accord with this. Because guys, there are so many pressures coming from every direction you can't even imagine about these types of decisions. By the way, another article here by Michael Schneider. Love Michael Schneider. Need to get him on the show. They're killing small businesses in the United States. The number of self-employed American is lower than it was 27 years ago. After 8 long bitter years under Obama, when things go better for the entrepreneurs and small businesses, now that Donald Trump is in the White House, once upon a time, America was the best place in the world for those who wanted to work for themselves. Our free market capitalist system created an environment in which entrepreneurs and great and small businesses thrive. But today they're being absolutely eviscerated by the control freak bureaucrats that dominate our political system year after year. Leftist politicians and the right wing also, I must admit, just keep piling on more rules, more regulations, more red tape, and more taxes. As a result, the number of self-employed Americans is now lower than it was in 1990. This is absolutely a travesty, Austin, because that's the free enterprise system this country was built on, and they are slowly dismantling it. And today we see that Amazon's shares have now passed $1,000 a share, and they have twice the value of Walmart now because they're taking away jobs left and right through automation. So guys, stay tuned. Thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you so much. A lot of you responded to the sale we had yesterday. Thank you. I appreciate that. This is the show that you guys have sponsored. My listeners have sponsored this show through supporting Health Masters. And so many of you also, you'll throw $1 or $5 or $10 or $20 or $100 extra on your order as a donation. Thank you for that too. We really appreciate it because we're doing everything we can to stay commercial free, because I'm not doing a commercial show, Austin. I'm not going to allow some network to dictate how many commercial spots I have to take per hour. I refuse to do it, son. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And what we're seeing now is that with just the domination of Amazon and with a lot of these big Silicon Valley elites and a lot of these guys that are pretty much taking over in a monopoly of the entire online market, they're pushing for what I've talked about last week, a universal basic income to give all citizens a annual guaranteed income. And now we have Tesla CEO Elon Musk. We have Y Combinator President Sam Altman. Mark Zuckerberg brought it up the other day. They're really pushing this. And what they're trying to do from this liberal fantasy utopia realm, yeah, that sounds good. A guaranteed basic annual income to everybody in the country. Except in reality, it doesn't work. You know, I did some of the math on it. First off, President Sam Altman of Y Combinator, he went on to say last week, we should make it so no one is worried about how they're going to pay for a place to live. No one has to worry about how they're going to get enough food. Just give people enough money to have a reasonable quality of life. Mark Zuckerberg said 2 weeks ago at the Harvard commencement, we should explore ideas like universal basic income to make sure everyone has a cushion to try new ideas. the issue with this, guys, is this is just socialism at its finest, because what they are trying to do is create a society that's solely dependent on the government. First off, nobody wants to even discuss how we would possibly pay for this. Notice these guys aren't voluntarily giving up their money. Roughly right now in the United States, there's 240 million adults over the age of 18. 240 million adults. If you wanted to say, okay, roughly somewhere around $1,600 to $1,700 a month, that could provide you with an adequate, comfortable living, you know, your housing, your food, basic essentials. That's about it in the United States, you know what I mean, as far as comfortably. So $1,600, $1,700 a year, that's about $20,000 a month, or excuse me, $20,000 a year. So you're getting a $20,000 a year basic guaranteed annual income from the government. Well, that sounds great, except when you figure out that you have to do that to 240 million Americans, that comes out to $4.8 trillion a year, more than the entire federal government budget, over actually a trillion and a half almost, more than the entire federal government budget, just to give every adult in the United States a $20,000 a year annual income from the government. Doesn't make sense. Numbers don't crunch. It's impossible. It can't be done. But see, they're pushing this now because they want to get more and more people on the government gravy train. The more people they can get to rely on the government to, again, submit to the government, because when you're making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year off government subsidies, housing, food, all the stuff that they get now, people don't rebel. Nobody's going to get mad at the government for giving them money. Nobody does that. They're complicit. They're compliant. They don't get mad. They're okay with it. That's why the elite are starting to push this so hard now. That is the overall goal with the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, is we just have this big community. Everybody has free money. Nobody really has to work. I don't know how anything possibly gets done with that ideology, but this is what they're trying to do, Dad. I guess they know that they're going to start pushing the AI to control and dominate everything, so they're trying to get everybody used to not working. Maybe that's part of the goal too, some type of psyop. What do you think?
It always goes to the lowest common denominator of work production. In other words, let me explain to you what that means. They did this study in a college class. Several times they've done it, in which they took everybody in the class and they gave everybody in the class a B, whether they got an A, whether they got a C, whether they got a D, whether they got anything, they got a B. So the professor said basically what we're going to do after the first test. He goes, we're going to skew everything down. Everybody in the class gets a B. And so all the guys at the top who were making A's, they said, the heck with this. If they're going to give me a B, I'm not going to study. The guys at the bottom, D's, C's, and F students, they didn't care. They said, heck with this, I'm not going to study. So everybody stopped doing everything. Nobody learned everything, and everybody got a B. And it was a lesson in the class that he wanted to teach the people why communism and socialism doesn't work. There is no incentive. There's no incentive to rise above the ranks. Now, should you allow things to have you and money to have you? Absolutely not. God doesn't mind you having things. He just don't want things. He doesn't want things to have you. If you want to buy a new car, if you can afford it, then you have to have it for transportation, and hopefully you can pay cash for it, you do it. If you've got a car that's running great that you don't need to replace and you don't have the money to pay cash for another one, keep the one you've got. It's fine. See, the problem with socialism is that it's been tried repeatedly, son. It never, ever works, because the first in the colonies, when they came over here back in the 1400s, 1500s, they first came over, they tried to do that. Everybody would just share equally in the production, and everybody started starving to death because nobody produced anything, because what was the point? They were going to have to share everything they made. It doesn't work. Collectivism and socialism doesn't work. Now, if you've got a slave race, you said this. You got to understand something. They can't kill all of us. That's their goal. They don't want to kill all of us. They have to have enough mindless serfs running around to do their bidding and to keep their factories and their equipment operating. They want to drop us down to about 500 million. They want to kill 6.5 billion of us, apparently. So they want to drop us down to 500 million people. Now, that's the PP. That's to service them. That's all that's for. That's so they can have their prostitutes and their sex slaves. They can continue to have their human, sacrificial offerings and all the weird stuff they do in their little quiet time. These little sickos that these people are, that's what they want to have. But they don't want to be dealing with 7 billion people on the planet. So they're doing everything they possibly can. And now we're seeing this massive rollout on immunizations in Europe. We're going to see the same thing here. We've already seen the same thing here. And they're going to do exactly what Austin says. They want you to line up and willingly roll up your sleeve. We have an Ebola epidemic. We have to get everybody immunized now, or you're going to die of Ebola. Please come to the treatment centers. And you're going to have 250 million people running to the treatment centers all at once to get a shot of who knows what. when Baxter Labs put out that live flu virus into Hungary, and they tested it on their doggone ferrets, and they all died. They had hundreds of thousands of live vaccine that they were going to kill a whole bunch of people with that was tested on these ferrets because one guy had enough sense to pre-test the vaccines before he distributed them. You don't know what they're shooting in you guys. You have no idea. And you're willfully, willingly adding, allowing them to do this? No, man. Just tell them no thank you. I don't want to deal with any of this stuff. By the way, the largest thing, but speaking about these sickos and their sex trafficking, the largest sex trafficking bust in U.S. history has been done. Dozens of high-level slave traders have been indicted. And what is being hailed as one of the largest prosecutions of its kind in U.S. history, dozens of high-level modern-day slave traders were indicted this week in the U.S. for enslaving hundreds of young women spreading from coast to coast. Authorities are calling it a sophisticated sex trafficking ring that has forced hundreds of women to be modern-day sex slaves. Naturally, the root cause of the state finding the organization wasn't the sex slaves. It was the concealment of millions of dollars in unpaid taxes. This latest indictment goes after the money as outside of the conspiracy to commit sex trafficking charges are the charges of conspiracy to engage in money laundering and operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. The women were taken from Thailand and brought to the United States. They were forced to work as sex slaves, and they had been told that they could buy their freedom if they paid off their insurmountable bondage debts. They were told they're going to be sex slaves before they came over here, but it's so bad in Thailand and some of those really poor areas, they basically volunteered to do that. Acting U.S. Attorney Jared Gregory Brooker explained these women were rotated through trafficking centers across the United States and have been forced to have sex with strangers, even if the men were abusive. While many high-level arrests were made, the indictment noted that those at the top of the trafficking ring remain at large. Of course they are, because they'll be tied right to the international banking community of the United Nations. Yep. Although one of the bosses of the organization was arrested in the first phase of the investigation, is in custody in Belgium. Authorities are working to extradite her to the U.S. By the way, it was a woman who was one of the top bosses. According to the AP, while the indictment notes that this ring forced hundreds of women into sex to be sex slaves, and it mentions only a very few were actually rescued out of this. Let me explain to you about these third world countries. And I know this well because I've been to Thailand. Thailand is one of those places about every other year they have a coup and the government's overthrown. And the place is absolutely horrific to live in. And the people there, especially in the outer islands, are absolutely, in the outer parts of the country, are actually quite willing to do anything to get out of that type of just horrible situations. I mean, they're living in thatched roof huts, same in the Philippines, you know, with dirt floors, no windows. I mean, this is horrible. And so they're being told they can come to the United States. I remember years ago I was invited to go to a wedding of a friend of ours whose daughter, they had a surrogate daughter, basically wasn't their real daughter, but a surrogate daughter who was getting married in Thailand. And they invited my wife and I to travel to Thailand. And we did. We wanted to go over there. So we had a friend of ours go with us. Basically, he's best man at my wedding, and he'd gone through a divorce. And he was looking for a new wife, and he thought, well, maybe I can find a Thai wife. And guys, I'm not making this stuff up. It gets really weird. And what happened is when I got over there, I couldn't believe how impoverished the people were. Now, Bangkok wasn't too bad, but they got some really weird stuff they do over in Bangkok. And so this gentleman that I knew actually visited one of these places where you could actually, like a dating site, and he actually found a wife. And, of course, she got over to the United States and basically took off as soon as she got here and went into the Thai underground and disappeared on him. But the point is this. These people in these third world countries, in Africa and in Mexico and places all around the world, and many of you have traveled and you've seen, they will do anything to get out of the hellhole they call home. I mean, this is the truth. And this is what was so crazy to me with these Muslims that we're bringing in from other countries. They're leaving these hellholes they call home, and they're trying to bring the hellhole with them, Austin, to change our culture to mimic their hellhole. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. None of this makes any sense to me. Why in the world, if you leave a hellhole, and I don't consider hell a cuss word, so just bear with me on this, if you leave a place like that and you get out of that, why do you want to transform the place you just came to back into the same hellhole you left from? None of that makes any sense to me, which is what these guys seem to want to do when they come to the United States. Absolutely crazy. So, guys, this is what's going on with why these sex slave people are being involved. They volunteer. And, of course, it gets worse than this. A lot of them are being told they're coming to the United States to get on buses, and they're organ harvested. You heard me right. They are organ harvested. They're put under anesthesia, and they never wake up. This happens all of the time, guys. This is some crazy, crazy stuff, and it's all part of this incredible covert operation that's going on. A lot of it being done through the United Nations, through the CIA. It's just awful, Austin. And I really hope that Trump does something about that because he said that he would when he was campaigning. Son, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the problem is, I think personally, he really does truly want to keep the United States a nationalist-style country. But as we've seen with everything, the roots go so deep into the deep, dark state that there's a lot of stuff that I think he wasn't even expecting. I saw this article today. I've looked at a couple. Actually, I saw it yesterday when I was looking at some stuff from journalist George Webb. Did you see this, Dad, about with the he was talking about James Comey?
I have not. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is I've vetted this on three different other sites. However, I still have not gone through it 100%. But from what I'm reading and from what I've researched and the people I've talked to, this seems to be extremely accurate. Independent journalist George Webb basically says he has contact with French intelligence now. And he basically said that James Comey, longtime, you know, Democratic operative and Clinton loyalist, John Podesta, is in a frenzy to unload around $40 billion from the Clinton Foundation, and they're buying up art, gold, and diamonds. He said, and that's why I quote from the interview discussed on here, he said, I have a contact within the French intelligence that's told me this. They're buying up artwork right now in every place. They know every art dealer that he's buying art from. What you're dealing with is Trump could go get that $40 billion right now and seize the assets. So before the new FBI director is named, McCabe knows all about the $40 billion. He goes, you start moving this stuff to gold, diamonds, artwork, and so forth, and you put it in your network out into as many different countries as possible, so it's difficult to actually go seize. The money right now is being moved by John Podesta to artwork, diamonds, and gold. Seth Rich's murder was just a small part of a much bigger picture of high-level racketeering by Hillary Clinton, her minions, and whoever she's fronting. It's an outrageous amount of money that's been amassed over 20 years. He said they're drug running between Afghanistan to Punjab to Pakistan to Turkey and Clear Air Base to NATO in Mons, Belgium. He said the large military transport planes, C-130s, which we talk about all the time, are being used to transfer raw opium from Afghanistan to Pakistan, where they are refined into heroin and also opioid medications. They're making generic medications over there, and they're distributing them from Belgium. So, guys, what it seems to be, and this is tying in here, and I've read this in another place, and I'm trying to verify, it's just very hard stuff to figure out as far as real, true stuff, that they're not just bringing in the heroin from Afghanistan and these places. They're actually using the heroin from Afghanistan as well because it's essentially free. Making these guys like forcibly harvest it over there. They're protecting it with the U.S. military so the Taliban can't burn it down. They're sending it over to Pakistan and Turkey and then into Belgium, and they're actually making prescription pharmaceutical opiates like OxyContin and other generic opiates in Belgium and then sending them to the United States. He says all this information can be found if you can get a congressional BlackBerry phone network access. He said just like in MENA, Arkansas, but it's on a global scale. It's very simple. He said the drugs go one way, the weapons are going the other way. Half of the cargo planes get left in Belgium and the rest comes to the U.S. In the past, he mentioned Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, as well as an airport in Rockford, Illinois, where drugs were smuggled in shipments of mangoes and balsami rice, except that instead of $1 million per day of cocaine, like in MENA, Arkansas, Webb claims that at Offutt AFB Air Force Base, they're receiving $1 billion per day in opiates now. So this is pretty crazy. Granted, if this is all 100% accurate, I'm not sure. That's why I told you I haven't fully vetted this. But this is tied into numerous other stories and numerous other research that I have found and been told by people that have a lot of knowledge in this area. So that's pretty crazy, Dad, if this is actually accurate, if they're also trying to dump all this money out of the Clinton Foundation because they don't want to lose it all. But I don't know. We're going to have to do more research into it.
It takes a lot of stuff to buy for $40 billion. A thousand millions is a billion, and so you know, so you'd be gosh, times 40, so you'd be 40,000 millions be a billion for $40 billion. So I mean, so gosh, I mean, that's a lot of cash. And so they're having to dump it. You know, that's what happened with the Germans too. The Germans basically started taking artwork and gold and everything else they could find from all the countries they were looting, because they can put the gold or the diamonds into a safety deposit box in some obscure country somewhere, and nobody really knows where it is. And so they can put a lot of gold in safety deposit boxes, a lot of diamonds in safety deposit boxes. So this is what they do, and this is what they're trying to do, I guess, as far as cleaning that out. If that story is accurate and vetted, we need to make sure we get it all. So disguise it. Just take that one with a grain of salt. By the way, work requirements dropped thousands in Georgia from food stamps, which is good. More than half of the food stamps in recipients in 21 Georgia counties have been dropped from the program after the state instituted work requirements. Imagine that. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports state figures released this week revealed that 11,000 people considered able-bodied without children were required to find work by April the 1st to maintain continue getting food stamps. 62% were dropped after the deadline, whittling the number of recipients. So, guys, bravo, Georgia. Congratulations. I mean, the reality is, guys, everybody needs to work. The Bible says if we don't work, we don't eat. There's something you can do. You can flip burgers at a burger joint. You can do something. Gosh, I flip burgers at burger joints. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. You can work at a construction crew on cleanup. There's all kinds of things that you can do instead of just sitting around and waiting and watching TV for your tide to roll in, so to speak. I'm not sure what to say about all that, but it's kind of strange. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, and to touch base on that a second ago, you know, when I've seen this, I saw this this week, and what's wild about it is that all they did was they have basically like little under 12,000 people that are considered able-bodied without children and told them, if you can't find a job by April 1st, we're basically cutting off your free funds. And even I pulled up under the definition with the Georgia able-bodied means healthy, not physically or mentally disabled, 18 to 49 years of age, not pregnant, and does not live with anyone under the age of 18. And they put this out there, and by April 1st, over 7,000 people dropped off the food stamps, meaning these guys are complete and total adult, able-bodied Americans that are getting free food stamps and free subsidies and are still refusing to get a job. That boggles my mind, Dad. But again, it's talked about before, the giant safety net that the government has intentionally put out there in order to keep the masses at bay, because if you can keep 46, 45, 47, whatever the number is right now, million people in the United States on free food, which is roughly a sixth to the seventh of the population, depending on how the numbers keep going, you can pretty much control them and dominate them about as effectively as you need to. But now that's why they're trying to push this annual government income that they want to guarantee you, so that they can get even more people on this gravy train to not work and be submissive little slaves, and that way they will all submit to whatever the globalist New World Order wants. And like you said, the mark of the beast, man. It's really weird when you start seeing all this stuff come together. It becomes so obvious.
No, it's what they're doing. In fact, it's crazy. By the way, a new article has just come out now, new research on diet sodas, and it says that stroke and dementia are also linked to diet sodas. Wow. Natural health advocates have known for a long time that artificial sweeteners like aspartame are dangerous and should be avoided. They've been associated with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, leukemia. These health effects aren't all surprising when we consider that 10% of aspartame is paint thinner, methanol, which is converted to formaldehyde, but in turn is converted to formic acid, which is used as strip epoxy. According to a new study, we can, in fact, add an increased risk of stroke and dementia to the list of dangers. I mean, wow, guys, how in the world? Well, we already told you guys how aspartame got. We have an article on my website on how it's called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime, and how aspartame was actually put on the market. Who did it? How they did it, why they did it, and it's got, I think there's a 50 or 60 references in that one article that I wrote, gosh, 20 years ago. But this is one of those things, guys, stay away from diet sodas. They really are that bad. And by the way, guys, thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you so much for being here for us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers. I love you guys. I appreciate you. You guys are awesome. We got the best listeners in the whole world, and I just want to thank you. We have so many of you guys send us emails. We listen to you every day, every day, every day. Thank you. because you're part of our family. If you're listening to us every day, you're part of our family. And you know, and just feel free to come by and say hi. We had another couple come by just the other day and say hi. I mean, we love you guys. In fact, this couple said they love it when I call Obama the gay Kenyan. So, I mean, to me, that's just what he is. I mean, that's just calling out what he is. I mean, and the reason I show so little respect for him as a president of the United States is he was a usurper. He should have never been a president. He was not an American citizen. And it should, that, you know, and I believe that when Alan Keyes called him out when he first got elected. And guys, it's still a fact. It's still the truth that the globalists put him into power. Guys, God bless you. I love you. I'm going to wrap the summary for the show today. Austin, we'll talk to you later. And guys, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that was Milton and his family that came by the other day. Great family, great couple. They're great customers from us. They wanted to come by and see us and grab some products. I was able to have the privilege to talk to them for a few minutes, and it's always awesome when customers come by and we're actually able to, you know, see them and we can put a face with a name. That way we know when you guys call, you know, because like I said, we're just family here. That's what we do. I mean, this is all pretty much family working here in and out all day long. That's what we do. So we appreciate you guys allowing us to help you. Thank you for all the emails you've been sending us. Got a lot of them over the weekend. Definitely stacked up on them. So bear with us as we answer all of them. We appreciate the patience. And yeah, if you guys need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. We have hundreds of articles on there you can look at for free. Videos on there as well. All types of cool stuff on the website. Also, too, be sure to check out Product of the Week. It's going to be changing in the morning. And Thyroid Support is the current winner right now that will be changing. It's on sale for over 10% off. Great product. I've talked about it numerous times. I'm sure you guys have already heard about it. Check it out, definitely. So if you do want to stock up on summer, get it. The sale will be over tomorrow morning. And vote on what you guys want to win. Right now, it looks like the chelation therapy is the current leader, which that's a great product that really helps out with detoxification, helps to pull out heavy metals out of the body. Very, very good at decreasing plaque buildup in the arteries as well with the EDTA. So that's a really cool product to check out. And of course, the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit. That's probably one of our best selling, top selling kits that we have. Our five main products on sale all together there at all times. But yeah, guys, if you need anything, email us. Call us, 1-800-726-1834. That's what we're here for. We definitely try and help you guys as best as possible. And thank you for being patient with the emails and also with the phone calls, too. Occasionally, you know, we get hammered on phones. All of a sudden, we'll just start having 6, 7, 8, 9 people calling at one time. And, you know, there's usually only 2 or 3 of us on the phones at any given time. So we appreciate the patience and the support. Thank you, guys, for taking care of us, and thank you for listening to us every day. We appreciate it. You guys have a blessed, safe night, as always, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.